to be here with you. I truly enjoy being with my family, being able to worship together. I love every part of the worship service. The fact that God invited us to be in His presence, which is just an amazing concept in itself, that He invites us. He invites us to be in His presence, and then He reveals Himself through all the many ways that we partake in the service. And this morning, I want to share with you a very disturbing story that happened about 35 years ago. I was invited by a pastor and some of the leaders to attend this very special preaching situation where this special preacher, this person who had the word of knowledge, came into Anchorage, rented out a room in one of the hotels, and the pastor and some of the leaders wanted me to experience his phenomenal gift. And his gift is called the gift of knowledge. Okay? Now, there is a gift of knowledge. There is a very serious gift in that. But in this situation, the gift of knowledge was the ability to be able to look at you and say, I know something about you that you don't think I know. And he'll go up to a person and say, you've never met me before, but he'll throw out some numbers and some names, and that person goes, yes, how do you know that? Because I've never met you before. And then before that, he gives him a special word. Now, we're sitting there in this room full of people. My friend was with me, and as we were listening to all of this, my friend has this unique ability to discern certain things, and he turned around to me and he said, Peter, this is a con. And I'm going, okay. Yeah, this is a con artist, and he's conning people. He conned people to the point where one of my leaders actually gave $1,000 to this man's ministry because the man was able to recognize something in this person's life. I can't remember if it was a name or number or phone number. And with that, the guy said, God has told me that you need to contribute to this ministry. And that was a false prophet. The problem was I had pastors and leaders that truly believed in this. And they didn't examine this person. They didn't see this person for who he was. And it misled many, many people. This has happened many times in the Christian world. A person goes ahead and they say something or do something, and we don't examine them. We don't sit there and say, is this true or this is not? And a part of our studying God's Word is when we hear leaders and teachers preaching and teaching, it is up to us to be responsible to making sure that they are teaching God's Word. That's so important. So the part of study is you get into God's Word and you sit there and say, okay, is this person preaching God's Word? In the same 35 years ago, there was a denomination, and I have a friend who was going to go to this denomination and be a part of that. And in this denomination, again, I want to be very careful with this, the denomination basically says you cannot be a pastor unless you do one thing. And that one thing was a great bother to my friend because he realized that one thing was not biblical. And he could not do that because he went ahead and he sought himself the words and the truth about what this person or this denomination was giving them. And he said, I cannot adhere to this. And he was able to pull back. So there are a lot of pastors, and there's a lot of teachers out there that will deceive us. In fact, Jesus said it very clearly, be careful about these people. And there's ways that they do that, and one of the best ways that we can study in our lives is that we always need to examine the pastor. I need you to examine me. I need you to hold me accountable to God's Word. That is so important in your life because so many people have been misled by a person who has used God's Word and manipulated God's Word in a way that's wrong. In fact, there are things that we believe right now that are part of God's Word that we don't really even know. I mean, some of us, I don't know if you know, some of us may have an understanding of God's Word that is not correct. A lot of people believe that the way to consider money is the root of all evil, and that they believe that's from the Bible. But that's not true. Money is not the root of all evil. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the lust of money is the root of most evil. So just understanding that phrase is really important. God helps those who help themselves. Do you think that comes from the Bible? There's a lot of people believe that comes from the Bible. It does not come from the Bible. It's a phrase that was given to us by another person. So there's a lot of things that have been misquoted. There's pastors and there's teachers that have been using God's word in a way that's wrong, and God wants us to remember our responsibility, that we are to hold them accountable to that. So we've been looking at the series of sermons on how to study the Bible. And one of the first things that we learned is we need to value this passage. We need to know that Scripture is valuable. Unless it's valuable, we're not going to study it. And God provides us with His insight through the Holy Spirit that this is a valuable word. This is God's word. It's inspired to us, and His words have life. It's like the sweetness of the honeycomb. So that's one thing that we have to do. We have to put value to God's word in order for us to even study it. So that's important. That's the first thing that we do. Then we're taught that we are to put ourselves into the story. One of the best things that we can do when we're reading God's word, it's a story. And God wants us to get in that story, like we read great novels, when we listen to or watch a great movie, we find ourselves in that story. It helps us to pay attention. It helps us to see the things that are around us, and God will show us, as we're a part of that story, the things that He wants us to see. The other part is that God wants us to chew on God's word. You'll hear God's word a lot. You hear things like this, but it's important for us to pull back and say, okay, Acts. Okay, what is going on with Acts? Okay, why was Paul in Berea? You know, you start chewing on the word. You start sitting back and allowing for God's word just to meditate on that, allowing for the Holy Spirit to reveal to you the truth in that scripture. And believe it or not, our knowledge will continue to expand in such great ways. We learn about the importance of praying. Now, God gives us in Scripture the ability to know that when we pray, and Scripture tells us that God's Word, we can study from those prayers and Scriptures. This morning, we're going to be looking at something else, that we need to examine teachers and leaders with God's Word. That's a part of study. Now, I'm going to start with this. Paul was a rock star. Paul the Apostle was a rock star. He was one of those people from the Jewish community. He was like a person who was on top of his class. He graduated from Harvard, if you can imagine, on top of his class. He was on the top of his class with MIT. This guy was a rock star in the Jewish community. He was an amazing person. He did so many great things. He was taught by some of the best teachers out there. He had phenomenal credibility in the Jewish community. He was a rock star. Then God said, I'm going to change that. I'm going to have you confronted by my son, and you're going to have a revelation, and that revelation is you're going to realize that the person you've been persecuting is actually Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So he understood that, and finally, this completely transformed his life. Paul became a rock star within the Christian community. He was well known in the Christian community. He was even confronted Peter. He had such a strong part of him. He was such a zealous person for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine confronting Peter? But he was right when he confronted Peter, because Peter was preaching something that was a little different than he said he was supposed to be preaching. So here you are. He is a rock star. He was a great preacher. He was a miracle worker. Many times in Acts, you'll see the stories in which God used Paul to heal people. We see that he was a church planter, and also he experienced so many things in his life. 3 times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked, at night and day I was adrift at sea. This person lived out his faith. He was known to live out his faith. During his ministry, 6 times in Scripture, the Jews and Gentiles had plans to murder him, and he was able to escape from all of them, but from one time he was stoned and he thought he was dead. This person had credit. This had credibility, phenomenal credibility, and now he travels to this church in Berea. He goes there, and I love this story. The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went to a Jewish synagogue. One of the first things that Paul always did in the Jewish community, he goes to the Jewish synagogue because he's allowed to go there, and he gets the opportunity to be able to share the story, the real story of Jesus Christ. He goes there, and now these Jews, which I love this, now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were true. Paul made it very clear. Luke made it very clear. These Bereans were noble. They were able to go to this rock star. This person had phenomenal credibility. Paul was well known. You know, instead of sitting there and saying, okay, we're going to take your word at face value, we're going to make sure, Paul, no matter how great your creds are, we're going to use God's word and we're going to examine you and make sure that what you're saying is true. With Paul, of all the people. That is amazing. And how they were also complimented by the fact that they were of most noble of character. And this is a very special passage because it reminds us of the importance of us to examine our leaders, our teachers, with scriptures. And Jesus said it very clearly. He said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Jesus made it very clear, we are to examine those leaders, and there will be wolves in sheep's clothing pretending to be our friends. But in reality, they're using God's word in a way that is destructive. And God says, I want you to be very, very, very careful about that. And he says, we need to have this responsibility. And a part of studying God's word is to study your leaders. Now, this morning's theme is this. Examine your leaders, teachers, with God's word. Like I said, we need to do this. Now, everybody here knows David Brewer has just graduated. Graduated from seminary. He has his MDiv. Now he's in the process of being ordained. In the EPC church, they're very, very hard on all new teachers. Because they want to make sure that when this person gets ordained in our denomination, that this person knows exactly what they need to do when it comes to leading people in the church. They know the bad cases. They know the bad stuff. A lot of us came from different denominations, and they didn't examine their teachers, and those teachers and pastors misled and caused all kinds of discord within the church, especially when it comes to God's word and the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, David, you need to know right now, he's in the process of being examined with ordination tests. So he has to take these tests, and he has to make sure he knows polity, he has to make sure he knows theology, he has to make sure he knows the scripture, he has to make sure he knows worship, and he will be examined by them. And then, if he passes, then he has the next step. The next step is the presbyter, the ministerial committee, is going to talk to him in the same way, going to examine him. And then the last part, if everything comes together, may is the presbytery meeting, where we get together with other pastors and elders and get together, and guess what David has to do? He has to stand up here and take all the questions from all the pastors out there and the ruling elders, and they will examine him. They want to make sure he knows exactly what the essentials are when it comes to our denomination and so forth and so forth. That examination is very, very critical for David as well as the denomination. And I'm so grateful for that because what it does, it weeds out bad stuff. So God says that we are to examine our teachers and our leaders. Now, we have to have a sense of fear as leaders when it comes to preaching God's word. We have to have a sense of fear when it comes to teaching God's word, that the person who we're accountable is to God our Father. And he takes this very, very seriously, a healthy fear. And he reminds us of this many times as leaders, that we better do this right or we will get the consequences. Now, it sounds pretty harsh, but it's a healthy fear. I had a situation happen to me when I was younger. I disrespected my mom, And I disobeyed my mom. It was early morning, just before my dad left to work. And I believe I was in sixth grade. And my dad said, okay, I can't do anything now. But when I get home tonight, I'm going to discipline you. All that day was ruined. All I thought about was my dad disciplining me. My dad is a fair, fair man. And everything I ever got from my dad, any discipline I got, was, again, I deserved it. But that whole day, all I thought about is the fear that I had when I'm going to be disciplined by my dad, which, again, was a good thing for me because it really helped me to understand that I do not disrespect my mom and I do not disobey my mom because my dad is there. So this fear is a healthy fear, and especially is healthy when it comes to elders and teachers, teaching elders, leaders, that we have this very important responsibility is making sure that we lead our people with God's word. And it's brought out in many ways. The fear of the Lord, Proverbs 1:7, is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 19, the fear of the Lord leads to life. Whoever has it rests satisfied. Then Galatians, we heard this not too long ago. Galatians, Paul, God is writing to the Galatians, and he said, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. God is saying very clearly, leaders, be careful. Know what you're doing. Preach it well and preach the gospel. As we have said before, so now I say it again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you receive, let him be accursed. Strong words from God. Then the one that we get, you should not take the name of the Lord God in vain. This is the Ten Commandments. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. We do not walk around using God's name in a way that is dishonorable, in a way that labels God doing something, or God is his character is this way when it's not true to his character and it's not true to his nature. We don't do that. That's why even Jesus Christ made it very clear in his Lord's Prayer. He says, hallowed be your name. He says, we better be very clear about how sacred that name is. Be very clear when you talk about me and you talk about, you know, what I am and who I am. Be very careful. Make sure it's holy. Make sure it's set apart from all the other stuff out there. This is a serious thing, and Christ tells us the seriousness of that. So, a part of studying God's word is that we need to examine our teachers and leaders. Don't take for granted that they know everything. Realize you have a responsibility. We have a responsibility. And that is to, okay, is this person preaching God's word? And that means lots of things. When it comes to values, when it comes to relationship, there are so many good things that God gives us in Scripture. And as God reveals himself, those things are meant to give us life, to give us a great understanding and knowledge of our Father in heaven. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you again for, first of all, giving us this desire to know your word, to understand that it is a beautiful thing, it is a valuable thing, it is a sweet thing. Help us, God, to continue to know the valuableness of your word. Help us to treasure it. Help us to see that it is the very gift that allows us to know you and to hear your voice. Help us, God. Help us to have a heart to study. Help us to have a heart to hear your voice. And I pray this in your Son's name. Amen.